Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Where's your coaster, Ben?
I don't know. It's up there somewhere. My red cloth?
Yeah.
It's up there somewhere. All right. Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us tonight. As we say to you all the time, you get the raw feed on this side of Blog Talk Radio because you get everything that happens beforehand and afterwards. And it's always, we're glad to have you with us anyway. It's pretty cool. We found out last night, as we were getting ready to record our Hear the Word program, that Iraq is now one of the nations listening to us on Read the Word. How amazing is that?
Really amazing.
Take us into the 1040 window, Lord. Take us into the 1040 window.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. All right, give us just a second. We'll have everything ready here. All right, so Facebook Live's ready to go.
Wow, and notification and everything. Hallelujah.
All right. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Glad to have you here with us today.
Monday
night live at the Apollo. We should make sure we put a Zoom link in also for Family Thread. Thank you, please.
Zoom link in also.
So is it balmy negative 6?
Yeah, we have a balmy negative 6 degrees tonight. It's almost like February came back and we got about another.
Oh, no, negative 12.
It's negative 12. All right. Well, we didn't mean to mislead you there, but we did. All right. Oh, yeah. So welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome. So what'd you get for dinner, Dan? Oh, and Felicia. Hi, Felicia. We're so glad you guys are here.
Good evening. Oh, jeez.
Boy, it feels like a Monday here. Please bear with us with a smile.
Yeah, bear with us with a smile because we still got something happening here. And, you know, we're almost getting to the point where we're going to have daylight when the program starts.
Yeah.
There's nothing as we would like to ask all the live studio audience if you please would mute your electronic devices.
That would be greatly appreciated.
All
Okay. Well, here I am.
I just don't want it to look like that, so. But what do you do when they don't give you any other option?
Fire them.
Somebody got fired.
Yep.
Hi, Felicia. How you doing tonight? Brother Dan, Sister Felicia.
It seems like we haven't seen you in a long time, Felicia. How is everything? And how is the family? And
where in the world have you been? Wait, I didn't mean to say it quite like that, but about half of that.
We just missed you. That's all. And how did your No Meat Monday go today?
Yeah, how did?
Did you remember it was No Meat Monday?
School of this class is a piece of work. Yeah, that's interesting. No Meat Monday. I haven't thought about that.
I know a couple of weeks she didn't either because I talked about
What I wonder is why we don't have a No Meat Monday. Then we have Taco Tuesday.
Oh, I love Taco Tuesday.
Right?
Let's have Taco Tuesday.
And Wiener Schnitzel Wednesday, isn't that spelled with a W?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Wiener Schnitzel
Wednesday. And, I've lost all my TH food.
Tabbouleh Thursday.
Roger Oxy. Welcome, man.
And, Pizza Friday and Saturday.
That doesn't match. Pizza.
Well, we just have to compromise.
Brother Roger, welcome.
Hi, Roger. It's good to see you.
I got your gift.
That's pretty cool. Thank you.
What did we send you?
Oh, I'll tell you when I get it all set, ready to go in the mail.
Hi, Sunday.
It won't be a surprise.
Oh, you got us a gift. I thought you meant we sent you a gift. You got it.
Thank you.
What did we send you? Thank you for surprises.
For information?
Uh-huh.
Everybody that's in the community of faith, the following people, Brother Dan, Sunday, and Rebecca, and Misty, on Facebook, everything said that the message failed.
Wow.
So I must be doing something good that they went ahead and spammed me again. Be really stirring up beehive's nest.
I guess. Oh, no sweet Sunday. Take out Tuesday and Thursday. They haven't figured out Wednesday and Saturday. Well, keep up the good work, Yellow Belt.
So I just wanted to say hello to everybody in the community of faith. God bless you and Sister Leanne and everybody else.
Well, God bless you, Roger.
Yes,
I see that.
Roger.
So, I don't think they broke my code.
They didn't break your code yet.
But I will figure out something else.
Okay, you can say hi.
Hi. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Sophie.
How are you,
hello, little one? Yeah, that's your program. Mm-hmm. Let me get your hairbrush. Say hello. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to put the camera on. There, you know, you can see yourself.
There she is. Hello. Are you going to sing to us?
Oh, you're a lady. How are you? are you?
Hey, Mommy.
No, that's not Mommy, honey.
Hi, Mommy.
Hi, Mommy.
Not your Mommy,
no.
But thank you.
Mom's at work.
I understand.
It's been stressed.
Yeah, we got
yeah.
So, you going to sing for him? Not doing that. Use your Kleenex. Here.
Oh, my goodness.
Here. Use your tissue.
He's not going to clean.
Okay, she's got to go here.
Okay.
She's playing with her little tablet.
Oh, I thought maybe she was going to get her microphone.
Well, she got her little, she was singing Jesus Loves Me.
Aww.
She did at home, and Papa heard her. He just got a big kick out of that.
I love it.
Yeah, and Chrissy downloaded some music on her phone, but she didn't put it on her tablet yet. And I said, well, if I get a chance, it's hard to get it away from her. You know, she'll put it down, like, to watch her little cartoon or something. And she watches this Coco Melon. It's about this little baby and their family and how they do things together.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Aww.
And what's it called?
It's Coco Melon.
Coco Melon.
The dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a show.
Coco Melon.
But she loves it. And Sam will sit there with her, and they watch it together. It's their thing on the weekends.
Aw.
Yeah, they do things together quite a bit. Oh, get out of here. Sophie, what are you into? You going to fish?
Yes.
Well, she's got... down there. Roll, here, use your napkin or your tissue, okay?
What?
But,
yeah, I caught up with you guys. Look at that. I finally made it.
Well, I've been doing those timestamps, Pastor.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get a report today. I didn't get a report. Hold on. Let me see here.
Was I supposed to?
No. You guys don't create it. I get one from YouTube.
Oh, well, yeah, I did about 3 of them, I think, 4.
Wow, awesome.
Well, I had some extra time today, so I thought, well, I'll do it. Because I get busy reading my Bible, doing communion, and praying. It kind of consumes my day.
Well,
plus, take
care
of those.
Huh.
Thank you.
Isn't that something? Well, that's... I'm supposed to get some kind of a statement on that. Well, maybe it's in here. There we go. Well, anyways, thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. Thank
you. I hope I did it right.
Oh, I'm sure you did. It's you. There's no way to do it wrong, really.
Well,
what in the world?
What's the matter?
Let's go.
There are some notifications on here somewhere, and I can't find them with two easy clicks.
Oh, wow.
But I'm sure you did it all right, and the most important thing is you're there making it happen, and that's what's important.
Yeah, I listened to it, and then I put a comment.
Yeah.
One was Walk Your Talk, when you were talking about James,
yeah.
The book of James. And it's, I think it was... I know the thing was obey, trust obey, or something like that. I got to write these down. But I put that in there. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, what do I put in there? I don't want to sound like I'm off law. And walk your talk. That's what James is talking about.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
So that's what I did.
That's exactly right. That's good.
They're curious about it. They can go in there and hear the message. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
You know.
In the world. Well, I'm almost caught up with you guys. I really appreciate you guys all doing all the talking right now. I had no idea that Zoom was going to create this benefit for me, but wow, what a wonderful thing.
What did they do?
Well, you guys are sitting there talking, and I'm able to get something done over here that I need to get done.
Oh, okay. I'll just sit and talk. Yes, Roger?
Go ahead, Roger.
What would be the best way for the Express to get some to you, which is U.S. Postal Service or UPS or FedEx, which would be the fastest way to get some to you?
All three come here.
All three are here every day, so
any of them are fine.
Probably FedEx or UPS is probably going to be cheaper than the post office.
Will they?
I would think, but I don't know, you know, find out whichever one's cheaper. Just don't put any of them bad words on the outside, Roger. I don't want it to get deleted on its way here.
What bad words are you talking about? I just have fun messing with their mind.
You do well, Roger. You do well.
I think it's all right to say that. I don't think Roger was offended at all on that.
No. He's a
what is going on?
With
what? Wow. It's okay. Everybody just keep talking. All you guys keep talking. I'm cool over here.
I will send you, Pastor, Plan A code and Plan B code.
It's one of those things that
watch them confiscate our mail.
Yeah, they'll confiscate the mail. Have a big Facebook stamp on it. Oh, and then somebody will put a big picture up on the internet. Look at all these boxes that have been confiscated by Facebook.
They can't stop the word of the Lord.
They can't.
No, they can't.
They can't stop the word of the Lord. They might try, but So, anyways, welcome. Good to have everybody with us. Sure, God, you guys were talking real good. Isn't that something? How you just do that like that to me? Why would you do that?
Get all fired up, Pastor.
I think she went after coffee.
Okay. I want to know the recipe, what she uses with the barley and tuna casserole.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I told Chrissy about that, and she's, oh, my God, that sounds so good.
Oh, it's amazing.
Do you use cream of mushroom soup? Or do you use something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I told
extra
Chris
mushrooms. Amen, Roger Hoxie.
Yeah.
How'd you know that good, Roger?
Gotta have it. I like sauteed mushrooms.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That's a big thing around our house.
And in our barley tuna casserole, we like peas.
Oh, really?
But not everybody... Not everybody likes peas, but I really like peas in mine. So we actually have a pretty healthy serving of peas in our barley tuna casserole. Now, for those of you that are wondering what's up with barley tuna casserole, one of the things we learned from the nutritionist cardiologist, Dr. Pradeep, is that your noodles and your starches are actually just need to be seen as sugar. And I had a very interesting experience happen to me today, because I've chosen in my diet to eat once a day and then fast the rest of my 24 hours and let the ketosis work. Now, here's the cool thing after the 40-day fast. I didn't gain all my weight back. I've actually lost another 3 pounds since I started eating.
Wow, that's awesome.
But he taught me on that video about nutrition, which it says insane fasting, but it's nutrition. He teaches if you can get the ketosis happening in your body, you're not going to gain weight. You're going to lose weight. And you stop the ketosis by continually putting more food on top of the last food. then your body never has a chance to catch up. So since the 40-day fast of no food, I've now lost two more pounds, somewhere in there, 2 to 3 pounds, while I'm eating. And I'm eating, and I'm eating whatever I want to eat. I just only eat one day of it. Now watch this. Today, I decided to have some tortilla shells. And, or what do you call them?
Yeah.
Not shells, but...
Flour tortillas.
Flour tortillas, not the chips, but, you know, like the foldy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I made one with a cheese and chicken in it, melted it in the microwave. It was awesome. But when you read the nutritional facts about that tortilla shell. You just have to write on the back of the package sugar in big black letters, you know. It's, so
my mom was a diabetic, and so she was always aware of the sugar, the starches, what it does to the body, because she had to watch her weight and watch her diet. So the carrots, the beets, the peas, corn, those are all no-nos. You can have about a fourth of a cup. That's it.
Wow. So here's what happened to me. That tasted so good. I thought, well, I'm going to make one that's just butter and cinnamon sugar because I like an elephant ear.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't had any sweets since I've been off the fast. But God broke the power of sugar in my life during that fast. And so I ate that second one. Within about 25 minutes, I got a headache. And it's like, are you kidding me? That sugar has been that messed up. And the farther we've gone into the afternoon, the headache's gone away. That's not, process isn't there. And I just ixnayed on the oopage day of all of those. I'm not going to do it because why would I put poison in me and then expect health and strength in my body?
Makes sense. I have today the first day in a long time that I've actually had sugar. I kind of just eliminated it when I fasted the first time.
Yeah.
All the sugar, just I had candy. I give it away.
Wow.
You know, I didn't. Yeah, I gave it to Chrissy to take to work and give it to the gang. You know, I says I just don't eat it. I don't want it.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's really good, Sunday. Jeez.
Yeah, I used to be quite addicted to sugar.
Yeah.
And I took in, I bought some of those sour belts, you know. They're sour and they're good. And I ate some, but after I ate it, I thought, gosh, what am I doing to my body?
Yep.
It makes me aware. I never had a problem with diabetes or anything, thank God. I broke that record because I always ate healthy. I always ate mom's diabetic diet.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Then she joined Weight Watchers, which was fabulous because it had a potato salad made out of cauliflower. You couldn't tell the difference. It was delicious.
What kind of flour, Sunday?
Cauliflower. Instead of potatoes, you use cauliflower.
Oh, cauliflower. Oh, okay.
It's all vegetables.
Yeah, yep.
And it was fabulous. You don't put egg in it or anything.
Uh-huh.
But you use their sauce, you know, whatever that is. You can buy it in the stores.
Wait, Felicia, what's a dragon fruit? I thought that was a pretty little flower you planted in the spring.
No, that is a fruit.
Dragon fruit and grapes are really high in sugar.
All right, but don't tell the doctor. Don't tell the doctor that. We don't want him to know.
I know.
Hi. Hey, Audrey, how are you, ma'am?
How are you doing, girlfriend? I'm doing much better. I listen to all that crazy music 2.5 times over. Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff, isn't it? That would help a lot of people. They just did that. That right there is powerful stuff.
That one that I think Leanne put on about I liked it so well. Oh, the Psalms 23, I think it was. And I listened to it in the Lord's Prayer, I think it is. I don't know, but I absolutely loved it.
So Chrissy sent it to herself. She was here tonight and sent it to herself because she liked it. And she said she'd be getting with you guys Friday.
What in the world?
Oh, that will be cool.
She said that she would. She's working third, so she sleeps a lot during the day.
Yeah.
But she has to get broken sleep because she has to cook dinner, and she's got a husband that don't. So she has to get up and cook dinner, and then she goes back to bed and sleeps until she has to go to work. So it's really broken sleep for her.
All righty. Well, all right, everybody, welcome. We didn't hear what Felicia had for supper. Or Brother Roger, what he had for supper, or Brother Dan. So somebody, you guys got to start speaking up. We got only got about 3 minutes left.
Well, I had chicken and broccoli.
And wingdings.
All right.
Barbecue sauce.
A gross frozen meal. Had a few of those myself a few times. That's awesome. It's pretty cool out here in the oil field. Audrey's got to bring supper up yet, and Brother Damien, but in the oil field, when you haul of water to a disposal, a lot of times the disposals will have a refrigerator freezer in there, and in the freezer they'll have tacos and corn dogs. So I've had a lot of those really nasty frozen meals. But in the middle of the night when you're working hard and you're like, if I could just get to a store, of course there's not one in 15 miles. So when you pop that freezer open and there's a gnarly old cardboard taco in there, it don't matter. Put it in the microwave and chomp that rascal. You'll burn it off.
You haven't lived until you had sea rations.
now I liked MREs myself. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty good.
This was so bad, I think I would have preferred a PB&J sandwich. I mean, half of it went in the garbage real quick.
it's really bad when you set it down the dog and he walks away howling. it's like that one time I shot a goose. My daughter said, "Dad, you can't even hunt. You can't shoot a goose." I'd shot a whole box of shells trying to shoot a goose, but they were just flying just out of range of my 16 gauge. So I finally was like, one day I'm like, all right, I know where they land. I went and got permission from the farmer. When they landed, I got one. So I brought it home and I was going to go to the Woods and Water magazine and get me a recipe. And I did everything perfect to that recipe. And after about 20 minutes of cooking, the whole house was filled with the most putrid smell. And I thought, well, there's no way. When I opened that bag up to put the carrots and potatoes around that goose, that it's going to smell any better inside the bag. And it didn't. But I cooked them in there and I did exactly what they said. And then I carried it outside to my dog. And he just went and hid in the house. He wouldn't eat it at all. We finally threw it out in the woods because he wouldn't eat it at all. But there was nothing in the recipe about taking all the lard and the fat off the bottom side of the goose. So with a goose, you're best to just fillet the breast off rather than bake it like a turkey, because a goose has a thick layer of lard and fat on the bottom of their body so they can float in cold water and it have no effect on them.
Yeah.
And the old lady over at the corner store, old Lucy, she goes, oh, I know what your problem was. I was telling her, and she's like, you can't cook a goose like that. Like, well, you'd have thought, I said, Lucy, I'm like, look at that magazine. I used their, and she just laughed at me. She's like, who are you trusting those people for?
Hi, Mary girl. Glad you're here.
Hey, Pastor Rick. Welcome. Okay, Mary, you're the last one. You got to tell us what you had for supper, but you got to be fast because it's time to go.
Fried dandelions and leftover spaghetti.
Yum.
Fried dandelions.
Fried dandelions? Really? We were just talking about that the other day. Were they good?
They're very good.
Where did you get fried dandelions this time of year?
It's out of my freezer.
Oh.
Do you eat the yellow part or the green part?
Well, I eat the green part, but you can eat the yellow part also. Just pick them, kind of wash them, roll them in flour, and fry them, and they taste like mushrooms.
Really?
Really.
Oh, I'm making some of those.
Oh, yeah. With bumblebees out of them before you cook them.
Wait, what'd you say, Dan?
You're actually eating the stem, then?
Not the stem, the leaves.
The leaves, okay. All right.
Well, what about the yellow part?
The yellow part is the flower, and that's what you pick and kind of wash off and make sure there's no bees in it, and roll them in flour and fry them, and they taste just like mushrooms.
Yum.
Wow.
But you don't eat the stem, though, huh?
That hollow part, no. You make rings and necklaces and stuff like that out of for the kids to play with.
Yeah.
I'll put them in pickled beet juice.
I eat vinegar on my dandelions. It's really good.
Man, I don't have no dandelions to pick. I'm ready to eat some right now.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
They are good. I eat wild grape leaves, too.
Do you eat dandelion greens, Dan?
I did a couple of times back when I was at my grandpa's there in Sandy. We'd have a school out when we'd get too much energy, we'd go pick dandelion greens and we'd eat them, but they weren't my favorite. But I think if you fried them in butter,
yeah,
and maybe you ever put onion in there with it or not?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Just by them.
Yeah, I just roll them in flour and fry them.
Oh, okay. You're actually rolling them in flour. We just saw you just kind of fried them. But yeah, I can imagine being really good that way. My wife does that with, it's not lettuce, it's other stuff.
Kale?
Yeah, she does that with kale a lot.
What's wrong with people? Kale is an exaggeration.
I love kale.
Fried beet greens and mustard greens and dandelion greens are really
now,
good.
Now, for those of you who thought you were coming to a spiritual program where we're going to teach about God and the Bible, we will eventually once we get off of the milk and honey.
I think we need to start a COF cookbook myself.
There you go. That's a good idea, Leanne.
I think so, too.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, then I can open up a restaurant.
Amen, Dan Cotto, come on.
Yeah.
Wait, we'll create a restaurant chain, and we can just pump the videos right in on a big screen TV all over the whole thing. Somebody go find a Denny's that's been closest to you, and we're already set up.
And then we can actually go around and videotape what everybody's eating for dinner. We don't have to just ask.
No. And so
I actually made a cookbook for a church that I went to. So bunches of them.
Well, that's a good idea. And Mary's is a successful restaurateur.
Yeah.
So I just made my decision. I'm going to bankroll it because God's going to give me the money to bankroll it. So
amen.
I'll bankroll it. Mary's going to help us with the menu. And all y'all find an empty building in your place, and we just started the COF Eaton Ministry.
Let's don't say you did.
Come on, Mayor.
Wait, Mary, you're telling us you don't want to go back into the restaurant business?
Amen, you got that right. I've been there. It was a great experience. I loved it. I miss it, but I'd never do it again.
Well, you could just be the supervisor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, we've heard that story before, too, haven't we?
Yeah.
All right. So, just so everybody knows, with Sister Mary Pastorick, she has a consultant fee that she will charge, and she can help you understand how to do a restaurant. But the consultant fee is not exorbitant. It's just filled with all of her years of wisdom.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah.
I'm really impressed. I know how to make a piggy pancake.
A what? Pancake?
A pancake that looks like a pig.
Oh.
Oh.
Just a reminder.
I didn't know that those were important in the day we live. But, hey, out here, that might really, really be a big hit because there's a lot of Harley riders out here. So you could have a hog breakfast with a hog pancake.
Oh, that's a great
And find
idea.
A way to stamp HD on it, and they'd sell them like, ready, hotcakes.
No kidding. Wow.
All right. Here we go. It is 7:41. It is time to get moving. So we'll ask all of our friends on the Zoom side to mute. And we're going to start with prayer. I think we've missed our point of pledging and singing, and may God bless the troops, because that's going to put us way too close, and we got a lot to get done tonight in this thing. Now, if you haven't sent out your notifications yet to help everybody get here, make sure you do, because I've sat here and talked the night away and sent them.
I thought that's what you were doing the whole
time. Oh, no, I was wrestling another demon over here. But I won. I just want you to know I won.
Well, congratulations.
Didn't you hear me get a notification?
I did get an, I didn't hear yours. I got a notification.
Could you send me a notification?
I certainly will. Would you like me to send out the other notifications?
Well, yeah, it might be good.
Yours.
Look at there. I got me a notification just like that. All right. So Sister Leanne said she's going to take care of that.
Look at there. I got me.
All right. Look at there. I'm in. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful time of faith and family and fun. Thank you for your amazing word. As we say, as we learn from Dr. Hilton Sutton, the majestic word of God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Tonight, we seek your face again in your word. You said that you sent your word and healed our diseases. You said that it is the word that is able to make us stand. You said when we would meditate in the law day and night, that it would make us like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. And so tonight, we just thank you. We receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to make us stand in our life today. Thank you for the joy of sharing our recipes, our families, our fun, even our battles, Lord. And we speak over every one of our family tonight, everyone. We speak over Kathy and Angaroni and Sister Mary, Pastor Rick, and we just declare it again. They are completely made whole from any effect of the stroke that happened, and there is no residual effect. There's life and health in their bodies. We pray for Jeff or for Ben, and the renewal, the restoration of his lungs. I speak it over everyone who's connected to every one of us tonight, that there is life and restoration in the lungs, and they'll be strong and healthy, and COVID will not have any detrimental effect on them. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are bringing finances to every one of us to preach the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing soundness of mind to our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. Thank you that you have set before us an open door that no man can shut. And we choose now to walk through that door and be found in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Bless this great nation tonight. Bless every believer, every patriot who's standing bold for liberty and justice for all. Bless our peacemakers, wherever they may be around the world and in every city. Bless the families of the fallen and wounded. Bless every mighty man and woman of God that is holding the line for righteousness. We give you glory, and we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen, and amen, and amen. Now, we thank you for being here and being a part of what's going on a regular daily basis. And, you know, one of the most interesting things that you and I can see on a daily basis is the wonderful effect of faith and how it works in our lives. When you and I look at faith and we realize, wow, God is doing something very marvelous in me right now, then you realize, you know what? Thank God for his victory in our life. And we get to just look and see it. Now, I was saying it earlier at the beginning of the program, but I'm going to say it again right now. Last night, when we went live on Read the Word, just before we went live, actually, I had checked on the Read the Word Blog Talk Radio channel. And last night, for the first time, we added the nation of Iraq. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing
that God has added Iraq to the listeners on Read the Word. And they can't get on, you don't get on the list until you have 1% of the listeners. 50% of our listeners is America. 10% is South Korea. 10% is Japan. Europe carries the rest of them. And Iraq is 1.27% or something. So, Iraq, if you're listening tonight, we say it again. Welcome, 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 welcome. It is good to have you with us on a regular daily basis. In Jesus' mighty name. Tisha Jones, welcome. Angel Collier, welcome. It's good to have you with us tonight.
Hi, Angel.
We bless you and Alan and Paige Noel. Now, I'm not ever going to stop saying it, so... in the mighty name of Jesus, life and life more abundantly to you and to your family. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's get back to our announcements here. For the next period of time, not sure how long it's going to be, but we've got to get some things in our life that we're organizing, making happen, and for the next period of time, there's not going to be our noon prayer. It's not what we want to do. It's kind of a necessity. So we encourage you, please use your faith, God's wisdom and understanding in our life every day on these issues. The bottom line is, just like everything in life, we've got to have more finances to function as a ministry. So we ask you to keep your faith with us on that. The Holy Spirit gives you an assignment to sow, please do, because that's how every ministry operates, is by the seed sown, and the tithe and offering most certainly goes to take care of the priest. So that's where we're at. You're not going to see us on noon prayer for a period of time. Watch the family thread. We'll give you instructions in there of how it works. Most of all, we must be standing in faith with one another. This is a faith ministry. Every ministry is. And we need your prayers and faith as much as you need our prayers and faith. God made it that way on purpose. He made the body of Christ dependent upon Jesus the head. But Jesus the head can't do it without the body. The fivefold ministry can't do their work without the body of Christ, but the body of Christ can't do their work without the leadership of the fivefold ministry. People say, well, Pastor, you're saying that God put it all on our shoulders. He did. Yes, he did. Stop thinking that God can do anything he wants on this earth without coming through you and me. Well, I never heard anybody say that. Folks, he didn't say, I'm going to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. He said, Adam, you be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. And in it, he made it his way, his principle, his process, an established force that man, he has given he's given the earth to the sons of men. The earth is his footstool. And then he made us dependent on him for faith. And he is going to use man to get it done. So you and I have, every one of us have a part to play in every part of the ministry to see it come to pass. And when we all do our part, then the whole thing goes and functions just like it's supposed to do. Now, for those of you that's helping us do timestamps, thank you, thank you, thank you. I know you're enjoying the messages that are there. And honestly, if you're seeing something about it, please bring it to me on my private messenger and say, hey, Pastor, what about this? I welcome you to ask me questions, but I ask you to do it in a private setting, because I've got to be able to take this, digest it, say, Father, what do we do about that, and make a plan. And I truly, man, God help us, I just need to get one of y'all hired so you can be working 8 hours a day and working on this editing of this thing. I'm telling you, there's so much good material there, but we just got to get a bunch of it edited, so that it's a very effective tool for new people that are on their way here. In Jesus' mighty name. Those of you putting the timestamps in, thank you. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. I'm telling you, you're doing a good work. Just keep making it happen. If you get all of those videos in that thread all put together and you've done every one of them with timestamps, then contact me, because I got another whole playlist. I got about 5 more playlists. Some of them are not even public. They just need some heavy editing. And with the timestamp in there, then we can come back out for everybody to see it. I hope you're grabbing this. This is one of the most important things that this ministry needs to get accomplished right now. And I can use every single one of you, your help, And your work, your effort. Don't sit in your house and watch some stupid sitcom. Don't do that. Because the same period of time you would sit there and watch that, you can sit here, sow a seed into the ministry, and reap a harvest of God's blessing in your life for doing that. You ain't going to get that out of a sitcom. You're going to get your brain to go mush. They're going to pump a bunch of liberal philosophy at you. You'll get done, won't feel good. But over here, you'll not only feel good, your faith will grow. Help the ministry, which gets a 100-fold return for your life.
Yeah, yeah.
You might say, Pastor. Go ahead, say it.
Actually is sowing a seed of your time, doing that, doing those time stamps. It's a serious.
You might say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of money to sow to you. But if you got an hour, that hour is as valuable as a $20 bill, a $50 bill to me.
Yeah.
Because if you can put that in on a timestamp situation, then you make the ministry become extremely effective. And what you're learning how to become here is our front line on this situation. And I'm going to tell you right now, being that front line, you don't even have to say anything publicly or get up and preach, but you're helping us get this message out in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Did I see a hand in the background somewhere? Nope, no hand. Timestamps is what we got right now. And if you stick around when the program's done, I'll explain it one more time. It's very, very simple. And here's the thing. The problem with the timestamp is it is so simple. Your brain tries to complicate it. It's so simple that your mind is trying to complicate it. Just let it be as simple as it is. It's no different than right here in front of us. You just put in, I don't understand timestamps. That's how simple it is. All you got to do in that same statement you just made is add the time and click enter. It's just that. It's so simple, the mind wants to complicate it. Don't let it. Just, it's that simple. You made a comment, put a timestamp in it. And when we finish the program, tonight, when this program's done, I'm gonna end early. I will show you again right here on the screen. I'll share my screen in Zoom, and you'll be able to see exactly what that is. In Jesus' mighty name. Are we ready? Seems like that's all we're talking about except tonight. Tonight we learned that if there's an empty Denny's where you live, find out how much the building costs, because I think Brother Dan got a word that we need to have a COF restaurant chain.
Yeah.
Wait, think about it. West Virginia, North Carolina, Opelika, Alabama, Louisiana. Has anybody said hallelujah yet? Shepherd, Michigan, right out by the highway. Huh? Lansing, Michigan, Jackson, Michigan. Somebody ought to say glory, hallelujah. And Mary don't even have to build one. She just has to have that phone time where she can look into this camera. We call it FaceTime.
Oh.
And just have that look like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. She can supervise.
We'll all learn that look like, no, that's a dumb idea. Don't do that. Oh, all right. Got it, Mary. Got it. Didn't even have to say a word. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Well, here we go. This is going to be an interesting series as we go through this. And so I want you to turn into your Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, to two openings. You sound like Brother Keith Moore.
How about YouTube?
Well, that might be good. Why didn't they just reach up there and click their own button and go live? They couldn't reach the button. Here we go. I want you to go with me to two openings. Did I say that yet?
Mm-hmm.
Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. And then Genesis chapter 1, no. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 5.
new angel. Woo! Look at her go.
Woo! But like I just heard my dad, let's all rise for the reading of the word.
Really?
Maybe Dad's watching tonight. I don't know.
Maybe.
What's our topic tonight, Pastor? Well, we're going to start a series here. Genesis chapter 12. And that is verses 1 through 5. We're going to start a series that is called What Does God and the Bible Say About Money? What does God and the Bible say about money? And some of you are going to be like, I don't know what's up with you preachers, why you preach about this. Because God actually says more in the Bible about money and handling it than he does about redemption.
Wow.
Bible said Jesus had a lot of money.
It does.
And we should be like him.
Amen, Mary.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We should be like Jesus. It says that too,
that we should be like Jesus, actually?
It does.
Wow. We have a very rather scholarly group of folks that's with us tonight. Are you ready? Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession like we do every day. You need to see what a really good Bible looks like. Thompson Chain Reference Bible, New King James Version, Red Letter Edition. This is a good Bible.
Angel, did you ever get yours?
Oh, yeah, that was clear back in COVID.
Yeah, that was a long
time. Yeah, they were having a problem with that one, though.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
Regardless of what man says.
Regardless of what man says, amen.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher
is making his word come alive,
in my life tonight.
I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed
in the good soil
producing a hundredfold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body.
In
Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Somebody shout a big amen or even a little one.
Amen.
What in the world is that?
What is what?
I have no, I just, there's just, there's, well. All right, everybody's still here. okay. Let's just, everybody just hang on.
It was a little amen.
It was a cute little amen. So funny.
Oh, my goodness, sakes alive. Jesus. All right, here we go. I'm almost there. Listen, now you might be like, Pastor, what's going on? Well, something just popped up on my screen that said, hello, have you ever thought about dealing with me right when things start going live? And and there's nothing you can do except try to click a button that doesn't make everybody disappear. I think we got it done.
Hallelujah.
Here we go. Joshua chapter 1. What does the Bible say? What does God and the Bible say about money? Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. No man shall be able to stand before you, Josh, all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's another good place to shout, amen.
Amen.
Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. 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 Why? Because it's going to take courage to do the work of God. Because if any wimp could do it, everybody would be. Did you ever hear Gloria Copeland one day? She looked at Brother Kenneth and said, why has it got to be so hard? He said, well, Gloria, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Well, God gave the assignment he gave us because he knew we would make it happen no matter how hard it got. Because we're all given a gift according to our own several abilities, and that means what you're facing, he thinks you can handle what you're facing. Be strong and of a good courage, and in the middle of that, conquer. Verse number 6, you will divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. I was going to be like Roger and do a funny, but, you know, just made you wonder if the first place the song came out was at Jericho. Just before they blew the trumpet. Na, 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 na. Na, na, na. All right, never mind. I was trying to make a good joke, but that didn't come out right. Here we go. That you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That you may prosper wherever you go. This is God talking about prosperity everywhere they go. This is God talking to Josh, the new leader, about prosperity everywhere they go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night in it, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way wherever you go, and you will have good success. Aren't you glad he didn't say, and you're going to have bad success? That doesn't work, Pastor. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And look a hair, look a hair, look a hair. Genesis chapter 12. This is the first chapter where God is going to talk to Abe and going to say, hey, Abram, walk before me and I'm going to make you a great nation. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your family, out of your country, away from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. You can't have a great nation unless somebody is prosperous. If you don't mind me saying, it just ain't going to happen until somebody prospers that you're going to have a great nation. Because as you and I can see today, unless you and I, the citizens, are prosperous, then we get run over by a steamroller government that thinks they're something more than a hired help. And he said, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. That's not just righteousness. That is righteousness and business and love for the widow and the orphan and everything it takes to make a good name in the day that we live. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4. Well, wait. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of Abraham. That's a pretty big blessing. That's a huge blessing. And that's not just spirituality. Because there's the spiritual side of the covenant, and then there's the physical side of the covenant. And you and I, as the seed of Abraham, get both. Not only do we get life eternal in heaven, but we get an account with hundredfold seed and hundredfold return stored up in heaven that we get to use on earth before we get to heaven to get his gospel preached around the world. Number 4, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Ready? Then Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. All right? What does God say about money? What does the Bible say about money? I am reading to you right now God talking about great men of God and their money. Now, Pastor, why are we going here? Because we've got to lay this out, that God is very concerned about the money of the kingdom. And I got a word for you. If everybody in the kingdom understood the money of the kingdom, there would be no wicked dictator that could do anything to us, because the tithe would break his arms and his legs and his feet. Because when God rebukes you as a wicked leader, there is no recovery. But the church doesn't believe in tithing anymore. When I first started attending Dr. Barclay's church, he would come once a year, and he would always give this report about the body of Christ. This year, the body of Christ was at a 14% tithing record. I think the highest number I ever heard was like 17%. Wow. In 1995, 17% of the church across the board in the United States of America was tithing. Is it any wonder there's so much perversion in 1995? 17% of us were tithing. 17% of the body of Christ was having the devourer rebuked. Not 97%.
Yeah.
17.
Yeah, and that's not the general population. That is actual church going.
That is actual church going people. Now watch this.
Yeah.
In his church in Midland, there was about a 97% tithing rate.
Wow.
Because he teaches it. What are we doing, Pastor? We're learning about God and money, because if we don't have God and money right, you can't go preach gospel out there without money. It costs money to preach the gospel. There's no way around it. And Dr. Summerall said, you want to preach a lot of gospel, you're going to have a lot of money. You're just going to preach a little gospel, it don't take but just a little bit of money. But the more people you reach, the more money it's going to cost you.
The more the kingdom of God is in control of this earth.
And the more the kingdom of God is in control of the earth. And if we'll go ahead and let God do for us like he did for Abe, our father, our grandfather, then all of a sudden we'll be just like him on this earth. Watch this. One chapter after chapter 12, when he left, look at 13:1. Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. I have a question for you. Why would God, by the Holy Spirit, decide that he had to tell us, the Holy Spirit decide that he had to tell us that Abraham was very rich in silver and in gold? Abraham didn't write this. Moses wrote it years, thousand years after Abraham lived. Why did the Holy Spirit make it so important for us to know this? You have to go back to this and say, wait a minute, Pastor, you're making this the Holy Spirit. Well, we might as well read the verse. Hold your finger in Genesis 12 because we're coming right on back by there. But right now, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's go from verse 16 to 21. Don't worry. This is all a part of the message. This is not introduction. I'm coming at you hard, fast, and continually rapid fire tonight because God has come this year to reward you and I abundantly for our work and for our labor. 2 Peter chapter 1. What is going on here? Everybody pause for a second. Are you still pausing for a second?
We are pausing for a second.
We got to pause for another second. Where? Come on, Zoom screen. Let's go. There it is. Oh, it's the Zoom screen that's out of order. There we go. Now, YouTube. Where did you go, YouTube? Everybody just pause. There it is. There it is. All right. Everybody's back in the proper order. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I want you to follow this very closely. We do not follow cunningly devised fables. Did you see that? We do not follow cunningly devised fables. Pastor, why in the world would somebody do that? Because they hate God, they hate his order, they hate his kingdom, and they have given themselves over to a deceitful spirit, deceiving spirit, to control men. Made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from the Father honor and glory, when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, declaring, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Look at 18. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter's saying this with big eyes, because that day, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured on the mountain in front of his eyes, and Moses and Elijah showed up. And the three boys were like, and it so was such a thrilling thing to Peter, he said, let's build you a tabernacle here. Now watch this. 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These words in Genesis chapter 13 are as much filled with the Spirit of God as the words in Romans chapter 10 that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. These verses talking about Abraham's wealth are as important to our understanding of God as them verses in Romans chapter 10 talking about salvation. Pastor, why do you have to talk about money? Because if you don't get your money fixed, it's no different than not getting your mouth fixed. Because you'll spend your whole life in a financial battle wondering what's wrong with me. And it attacks the soul and it wears you out when God has promised to bless you abundantly beyond measure in any way that you can even imagine. I have to establish this fact that an unjust balance is an abomination to our God. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16.
Roger, can I share that question with Pastor so he can address it with everyone?
Proverbs 16, verse 11. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's delight. All the weights belong to him. God hates an unjust balance. God hates, I'm going to say it again. God hates an unjust balance. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 10. Hold on here. Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. An unjust balance is an abomination to the Lord. Mm-hmm. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, if all you teach is God's grace, 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 and you never teach his judgment, you are giving an unjust balance as God from what God wants you to have. It's why that message by John Bevere was so serious. We must have the fear of the Lord. And we must have the love of the Lord. You got to have them both or you're going to have an unjust balance and be in a ditch somewhere. You got to have both of these words. So you can't just say, well, he saved me and that gives me a wonderful, beautiful, prosperous soul. It does. But now God wants you to have a wonderful, beautiful, prosperous pocketbook. So you have the ability to bless many people's lives. Watch this. What was the questions? This is true, Roger, of several denominations. It's very wrong. It takes the ability away from people to make their own conscious decision to bring their tithe to their own free will and worship the Lord. I don't see a question in there.
Okay, could he send it directly to me? It just says, Sister Leanne, question I've heard from more than one person. A church is asking for your last 2 years of your tax papers, and then they decide what you're going to tithe on.
Oh, that's wicked.
That's
very wicked, Roger. That's very wicked that a church would do that.
Yeah.
Anybody that's hearing that in a church, you got to get away from them because what they're doing is using manipulation to get your money.
Yeah. Well, and it takes the whole...
worship
the ability to, yeah, you're supposed to do that of your own free will, worship the Lord
right.
Cheerfully with your tithe. And when they take that ability away, that's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Tithe is not a financial transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Tithe is an action of worship. We're going to study that in a couple of days. Tithe is actually an act of worship. It's don't pay your tithe another day of your life. Worship the Lord with your, with his holy tithe, because it doesn't even belong to you. It's his. It's holy unto the Lord. We'll get to that in a little while. It's a wonderful question.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Now, I'm back in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 12. Abraham, or verse 2. Genesis 13, 2. Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. Now, let's go back to Genesis 12, 16.
something on Facebook. Your whole screen is vibrating, so I didn't know if you were hitting something. So, isn't it funny that it's not doing it on YouTube, but on Facebook it's been vibrating?
Well, that's just Facebook messing with
it.
I rebuke you. Stop messing with it. You don't do it for the perverts, so don't do it with the righteous. Here we go. Verse 16. Genesis 12, 16.
Thank you, angel, so much.
Yeah, thank you, angel. That's awesome. He treated them well for her sake. He gave him sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. Because Pharaoh was trying to take Abraham's wife, and God said, you better leave this man of God alone. And, by the way, as he leaves, give him all that stuff, and you better not touch him again. I'm going to curse those who curse him, and I'm going to bless those who bless him. See, God's got a lot to say about money, guys. You and I have been duped by dumb people and those who are actually perverse. And they have made fables for us to believe.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church being one of them, that say a priest must take an oath of poverty. That is not in God's holy word. And a priest can't marry a woman. And then you don't think there's going to be sexual immorality in the church if the priest can't even do what God said, be fruitful, multiply? God said it's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church said a priest must be celibate and take an oath of poverty. Man, whatever you do, don't take an oath of poverty. Poverty is run by a demonic spirit. That's why any place you see poverty, it is trashy. It is destroyed. Things are falling apart. People are hopeless. Why? It's dirty, unorderly, unorganized because it is run by a demonic spirit. Poverty is run by a demonic spirit. And the sister spirit to poverty is greed. One is on a man who forces other men into abject poverty and human slavery. He's full of greed. The other people now, because he's operating in greed, they're going to function in poverty because that man's going to use manipulation control, and he's going to control that whole region just so that he can have more money. And he won't care whether you're a widow, an orphan. He won't care anything about you. He don't care if you go to church. He's full of greed, and that's a demonic spirit. And the sister spirit to that is the spirit of poverty. This is really good today.
It is.
This is really, really good today. Let's look at something else about Brother Abraham, our great father in the faith. See how rich he is here. Look at this. In the chapter 14, five kings come out and attack Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where Abraham was at. He was just up on top of the hill where he could see it. Let's go to 11. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, all their provisions, and they went their way. They also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelled in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abraham, the Hebrew, for he dwelt with the terebinth tree of Mamre. 14. When Abraham heard this, that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Abraham was so blessed by God, he had 318-man army, well-trained army of 318 men in his household. You want to say it with me? This dude must have been God rich.
Yeah. He was.
What are you trying to tell us, Pastor? God wants you blessed beyond your wildest imagination, but he's going to only do it his way. And it becomes incumbent upon you and I that we see what God actually says in the Bible about men and women of God in the Bible so that we are given a Bible doctrine straight out of the Bible, not out of some man's book. I'm starting in the first book, and I'm going to show it to you in the Bible how God has it laid out for us to see. This is God's man, our father in the faith, because Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Because you and I believe God, we are given Jesus righteousness. Abraham started it by the Gentiles finding God and became the father of the Hebrew children. You and I were born Gentiles, and because we received by faith what Jesus did, we are grafted into the vine. The wild olive branch has been grafted into the olive tree, and we have the fatness of the root that's available to us. It's what we preached last week. Don't you love how God puts this together for us? Let's keep reading. I'm in Genesis 14, verse 15. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hoba, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all the goods, brought back his brother Lot, his goods, as well as the woman and the people. Abraham and his 300 men did what the king of Sodom couldn't do with all of his men. And Abraham destroyed these kings, four kings, or five kings, whatever it was. I get those two mixed up sometimes. Abraham and 318 of his men, with the blessing of God on his life, went and wiped those kings out, got all the stuff back, and brought it back. Now watch what happens. 17, the king of Sodom and Mount to meet him and follow the valley of Sheba. And after his return from the defeat of General Omar, the kings who were with him. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. That's a good question, Felicia. And it's a simple answer, both. Not only, but also. A tithe is God's going to continually ask you when you tithe to give him your time, your talent, and your treasure. Somebody type it in. Your time, your talent, and your treasure. Some weeks he'll ask you for all of it. Other weeks he'll ask you for your time. Sometime he's going to ask you just for your talents, which is going to be your time. And probably include some of your treasure to get it done. I don't want anybody to get stuck right now. I'm not taking an offering tonight. You can give one if God is so inclining you to do tonight. And that's how it should be any night when you're here. I am not going to beg you for money ever. If God tells me to come and receive an offering, I will come and receive it. I'm going to talk about tithe regularly because every one of us must be a tither. It's commanded by God. But tithe is a worship. And if you take it out of being a worship, then it's a financial transaction, right? And you lose the effectiveness of the tithe. Yeah. Like Brother Roger just said, they're wanting to see your tax returns. Ever step door in that church again.
Yeah.
Never. That's manipulation and control. And that is a demonic spirit that's not led by God Almighty.
And the tithe, is it to honor God? And also that's what it takes to care for God's house. And that takes all of those things.
Yep.
It takes people's time to care for God's house and their talents and their treasures.
Yep.
So all of those things are considered tithe for that reason, is to care for God's house.
When we study this in the children of Israel, you'll see it. The priest did not have an inheritance. The only way the priests were blessed and prospered is that God asked for his tithe. He put his tithe in your pocket and then asked you to bring it back to him. and he put it into the life of the priest, the pastor in our day, for the pastor to care for your spiritual life. So when people don't tithe, they're actually receiving the spiritual care from the pastor, and then they're doing nothing for it. They're just taking. Well, that's how the priest, that's how pastor lives, is by the tithe and the offering that's brought to the house of God. And we just read it in the book of Leviticus or Exodus that as the sacrifice is going, the priest was to reach in and grab his chunk of meat, and that's what he was to take home. That was his ability to eat. Let's keep reading. I'm in Genesis 14, 18. I don't want anybody, please, I need everybody to do something here. I need everybody to unhook from pastors teaching us a tithe message. Please unhook from that. I really need you to stay with me throughout this whole series. And right now, the point where God has us tonight is, what did I, God Almighty, say to you about money? Right now, God is saying, let me expand your understanding of how I, God, see money and blessings on this earth. We're going to get to the tithe to study it. But right now, tonight, and maybe for a couple more nights, we're going to just talk about how God sees money. What do you mean by in hook? Wait, I don't even know that I said those words.
Unhook from the belief that he's teaching tithe. This is more of a message freeing you to know it's okay to have money. You should have the blessing of God in your life.
That's a good question, Mary. What do I mean by unhook? If you sit here all night right now and say, Pastor, you're teaching me about tithing. Well, number one, I'm never going to preach at you about anything. Number two, if God's talking to you, obey God. But remember, obey him in worship, not in duty. Yeah. When you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Because this message tonight's not about tithe. So if you spend this whole night thinking about the tithe, you're going to miss everything God's saying to us about would you look at what I think about money and blessing in the Bible. Now, if God's talking to you about, well, let me say it this way. Right now, we're running at about 100 people, maybe 150, every time we get this thing going live. We're on four different formats, four different platforms. And when you start adding it all up, we're at about 150 people every time we do this. All right? We're reaching between 500 and 1,000 people a month. So this message, what I'm saying tonight, is much bigger than those of you who are very close up live with me tonight. So I need everybody to make sure you don't think I'm coming at you, because I will never do that. I don't use this platform to single out any single member of our church. I'm never going to do that. I don't like it when preachers do that. If a preacher has something to say to somebody, it is not to be said in the front room where everybody can see it. That's something you say in the back room where you can cover somebody's sin if they're in it. Now, if you continually are blatantly wicked and wrong and you do everybody in this body wrong publicly, then you're going to be rebuked publicly. But you're going to have to make a bunch of messes and have it come to you privately many times saying, hey, don't do that publicly like that, before you're going to get a public rebuke from me. I'm just never going to do that. So I want everybody just to stay looking at what God thinks about money. What does the Bible say about money and prospering? Am I making that plain enough?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And thank you for the questions, guys. They're good ones, and they're right on point.
Very good.
I'm now in Genesis 14:18. I want you to see something. We're going to be talking about the tithe, but this message isn't about tithe. Watch what happens before the law. The law of Moses isn't out. Watch what happens. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, Most High. 19, he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God, Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. What did God say to Abraham? I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. That's what happened to Chedorlaomer and all of his men. They got cursed. 20, the last line of 20, and he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham worshipped in front of Melchizedek, who brought out bread and grape juice. Have you seen it? The broken body and the blood. And when he got done worshiping, Abraham gave him a tithe of all that had just happened. Now, when those kings started running, they're going to leave their tents and their stuff behind. And Abraham went in and got all that booty. Abraham got all Sodom's booty. How do you say that word? Bounty. And Abraham's got it all. To the victor comes the spoils. That has been history of God's history all through the Bible.
Yeah, and they were wicked. So of course and, God's going to support
and
him.
And they're wicked. Write this verse in. I'm not turning there. Ecclesiastes 2:26. Don't turn there. Just stay right here. I'll refer to it. God gives it to the wicked to heap it up, store it up, and then the wicked man trips and God puts it into the hand of his righteous servant. Now watch. And he gave him a tithe of all before the covenant. Who told Abraham to tithe here? Melchizedek? The Holy Spirit, God did. Told Abraham to tithe. When we resist him, we resist God. Now listen, some of you might be in situations where it's tough to tithe. You might be a husband and you have an unbelieving wife and she's going to fight you all the way on it. You might be a believing wife and have an unbelieving husband. Well, you've got to make your marriage work. That's why Felicia's question was so good, because what do you tithe? You tithe your time, talent, and treasure. And if you're in a place where you have no treasure to tithe, tithe your time. Why? Because God receives that as a seed as much as he does money.
Yeah.
And if you'll use your tithe of your time in faith, that tithe of your time will turn to money in your pocket that you have the ability to do yourself, no matter what any other human says to you about whether or not you can or can't. And I understand family situations. I've seen many of them. I've seen men who wouldn't let their wife tithe, and God crushed everything he was doing. Because if you anybody on the face of the earth, if you don't tithe, you're like, Pastor, you just said you're not going to talk about tithing. This isn't a tithing message. But if you don't tithe, either God or the devil is going to get your tithe. If you don't honor God with what belongs to him, then the devil knows it's open game and he's going to take it. And he usually takes more than 10%. You have a flat tire, things will break down, things won't go right. Everywhere you turn, it's always falling apart. And you look around and say, my God, this stuff just keeps falling apart. That's because you've taken God's tithe and using it for yourself, and the enemy see it. And when the enemy sees that, then he's like, he don't respect God. I can do stuff inside of him. He won't be able to come against me.
Oh, and yes, I can't rebuke him without you giving.
God can't rebuke the devourer unless you worship him. Helping someone in need is an offering. Very well said. I got to keep reading. 21, We'll answer some more of these questions. Oh, my goodness. I'm so far behind where I need to be.
It's all right. We have an eternity.
Thank you, Sister Leanne. She just helped me. It's all right. We have eternity. Come back tomorrow night. We're going to have some more. Now watch. We got to finish this chapter at least. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. That means all the stuff Abraham recovered. The king of Sodom said, please let us have our wives and children back and you can take all the stuff. Look what Abraham said. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God, Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, and I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you would say, I am the one that made Abraham rich. Abraham said, I don't need your stuff. It belongs to you. I came out here to help you. God is going to bless me. Verse 24, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion that belongs to them for doing the work. Now, I want you to see this. Long before the tithe and the law, Abraham heard from God to tithe. And when you look at Abraham's life, the tithe blessed him. And the tithe prospered him. And the tithe made him great. And the enemy began to be afraid of him because of his greatness. And I'm looking for the verse. I'll have to find it. I'll bring it to you tomorrow night. Yeah, you probably can. In one of the places where Abraham was, the enemy said to Abraham, you are a prince of a man. Well, why would the enemy say that to him? Because Abraham was not only blessed as a very rich man by God, but Abraham was a very loving man by God. And when Abraham listened to God and gave a tenth and worshiped him with it, all of a sudden, everything Abraham touched turned to gold. What is it?
Genesis 38:28.
32. Now, I can believe 32, but 38 was getting over there into Brother Joe's side. Brother Joseph. Watch this. You search up the prince of a man. That is not it. All right. Well, we'll find it tomorrow and bring it to you. Anyways, I got to stay focused here. Now, why are we studying this, Pastor? Because if you think I'm wrong in teaching you this, then every time I say something about money, you're just going to shut it off and go somewhere else. Because the church has said the priest must take a poverty oath. He can't be married. He can't have children. And it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's a Bible verse. They go to the Sermon on the Mount and say, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about poverty. He's talking about the poor in spirit, those who are humble. And then you'll believe that God somehow loves you more when you're broke and poverty-stricken than he does when you're blessed and prosperous. And that's just not the case. I'm going to grab one more verse, tonight, because if I go to this verse, I won't preach, because there's not much around it except this verse. God bless you, Mary. Love you. Now watch this. I think this is the most important verse of the whole night right here. Okay? Mm-hmm. Goodness sakes alive. I just added about 8 more verses after this one. Let's get them done in 8 minutes. You want to do it?
Wow. Are you ready, Angel? Here he goes.
James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Who is it? The poor. Rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. Guess what that automatically means? You won't be poor anymore. If you are rich in faith, then you won't be poor on this earth. Because your rich faith will cause things to produce. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 17 is some of our favorite verses. Romans 8, 11 through 17. And when you go down here to verse number 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15, you did not receive the spirit of bondage, being enslaved. Poverty is a slavery. Again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. That means everything Jesus has right now, we have access to right now. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And love has been perfected among us in this. 1 John 4, 17. That we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, our elder brother, is, as he is, so are we in this world. Luke chapter 4. Come on, don't get tired. We got a couple more to go, but we're going to get this done. Luke chapter 4, verses 16. Through 21. This is Jesus. He's in the synagogue. They hand him the scroll. And I'm going to start at 18. You're writing down 16 through 21. Look at verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The very first assignment of Jesus was to preach the gospel to the poor. What is the gospel to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more, because Jesus came to break the back of the demonic spirit of poverty. This is good. Isn't this good? This is good. I got 5 minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Don't be nimble fingering now. Let's get this thing going. 2 Corinthians 9. One of these nights, I'm going to train you all how to turn in the Bible quickly with your thumb. It's a special technique to it. Chapter 9, verse number 6 through 11. I say he who sows sparingly. That's not talking about rich or poor. That's talking about all y'all. He who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Paul in chapter 8 and 9 of 1 Corinthians is talking about money and offerings and money. But do you know who doesn't have a problem with a preacher talking about offerings and money? Somebody that's got a lot of money. The people who don't are people who don't have money. And they're like, but Pastor, I'm going to get left out on this. No, you're not. If you'll listen to the core of what I'm saying, you're not left out. He chose those who are poor in this world to be rich in faith. His message came to set the poor free from boredom. And make you prosperous. Now watch. Let each one give as he purposes, grudgingly of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now look at verse 8. This is going to happen to the rich man and the poor man. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Why? He wants you blessed. Remember we talked about the fatness of the root last week? You're blessed coming in and going out. That's not necessarily money. You're blessed rising up and laying down. That's not money. That's sleep. You're blessed in your labor and your leisure. You're making money, but when leisure is, you're spending it. If the kids want a four-wheeler and a dirt bike, they get them both. Why? Because God wants you blessed his kingdom. Now watch. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency. Wait, I got to read it. Yeah, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an exceeding abundance to every good work that's in the kingdom, and that's in your family, and that's helping your neighbor, and that's helping the poor man, and that's being a blessing everywhere you go. J.C. Penney, well, he became very wealthy. Stores went across the nation. Said to his wife, I went to Sunday school. And there was two figures, 90% and 10%. God has blessed us so abundantly, we can't take a chance of doing wrong. We're going to give God 90%, and we're going to live by 10%, and they did it. Verse 9, as it is written, don't miss this verse. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. What did James chapter 5 say he gave to the poor? Rich in faith and seed. Where's my seed, Pastor? Ask him for it. He'll bring it to you. But most of all, use the seed of your time as a seed you can sow when there's nothing else for you to sow. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, may he, circle that, he is capitalized. He who supplies seed to the sower, that's God giving you and me an idea of what to sow so the harvest can break loose. Yesterday, God gave Leanne and I an idea about sowing. We sowed for about 5 hours yesterday. Why? He gave us words. And then challenged us to do it. And my Lord, did he give us revelation in that. Watch what happens. He supplies seed to the sower. But he's also going to give you bread for food. So seed to sow, bread for food, supply the seed, multiply the seed, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. All because you trust him to be abundantly blessing in your life in every area. Well, Pastor, I just don't need God doing all that for me because I might go astray. That means you're not a Christian. Christians are going to go astray. They have the very DNA of God on the inside of them. Quit being afraid for God to bless you, take care of you, and treat you like a son that he loves. You ain't going to go astray. You guys are proving that. You're the people that are here all the time.
Amen.
Stop believing those lies that religion has taught you. Well, you know, but David made that one statement, Pastor. He said it right out loud. He said it where everybody could hear. It's right in the Bible that don't give me anything more than I ought to have. And I might go wrong. Don't you know how God just said that to us all, Pastor?
And David was a multi-billionaire.
And David was a billionaire.
But he did good
in our day. In our day. You see, that statement says, give me more than what is mine. And don't give me less than what is mine. David was giving you the perfect example of how to prosper. Prosper me, Father, like you want me to prosper. I guarantee you that's more than enough to give into everything God's got our hands in. And for you to be able to say, that one's mine, Pastor. Oh, you need a new computer for a new employee? Brother Jones will say, I got the computer, Pastor. And Brother Smith will say, and Pastor, here's 50 grand. I'm paying for the employee. Well, Pastor, you're big dreaming. People do this all the time. One pastor was building a new building. He stood out in front of the church. He planned this whole big deal, big deal, raising money, big deal. And they got scratch slides and screens and banners and the big screen TV going. And he's got this whole thing done. Oh, he's going to do. And guess what happens? He opens up and says, and this is how much we need. And a man stands up in the back and says, I just wrote a check, Pastor, and paid the whole thing right there on the spot. Well, Pastor, what? What? Why would that guy do that? Because he'd been so blessed by that church, he paid the whole thing. Do you know what the rest of the people did to make that church go? They did the extra add-ons that the team had cut out because they didn't think they could afford it. And that man sowed his seed as God showed him to, and everybody else made the thing absolutely beautiful, and it's one of the most beautiful buildings there ever was. But wait. If we stay thinking small, then we will always be small, and we will never have enough to do for other people like we really want to. And according to the book of Proverbs, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, which means every one of us ought to have an IRA in the name of every one of our grandchildren with a couple thousand dollars, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 every year, so that when our grandchildren turn 21 years old and prove they got some sense, that everything they need for no matter what their skills and talents and abilities are in God, they can move right into it. You ever heard anybody does that, Pastor? Oh, yeah. Brother Jesse, Brother Jerry, Brother Kenneth, Dr. Barkley, all the great men of God I know did that for their grandchildren. Brother Jesse showed his granddaughter what her car looked like when she was 11, I think. And he said, she has not stopped asking me since 11 years old. Am I old enough for that car yet, Papa? No, see, religion, the spirit of poverty has said, be broke. That it is blessed to be broke. I don't know about you. I've lived in poverty. I hate poverty. Poverty is a demonic spirit. There's nothing good about being broke and not being able to write the check you need to write at any moment's notice. And there are millions of believers all over the world that's taken this book apart and said, hold it. What do you say about money, God? That's what I am. Do it to me. Brother Copeland had an amazing story 6 months ago in his catalog magazine about a lady whose husband was just an absolute wicked, perverse, awful man, and finally he divorced her. Yeah, poor as a church mouse. That's the saying, exactly.
Yeah.
And he divorced the lady. And she's like, how am I ever going to make it? Now I'm a single mom, and I got the huge debt on this big, huge house. And so she sold the house and said, God, you are now my husband. Show yourself strong. She went on one of them home parades, picked out the house she wanted, drove by it every day and said, you come to me debt-free. You come to me debt-free. You come to me debt-free. And I think it was 2 years from when she was divorced, she moved into that exact house in 2 years debt-free.
Hallelujah.
No, see, religion says be broke, busted, and disgusted. It'll make you holy. That's not God. Our Father in the faith was one of the wealthiest men in his day. And the nations feared him after his 318-man army wiped out four kings. Why? Because of the blessing of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, I didn't get it done in 8 minutes, but I did get it done in 15 minutes, and that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the Apostle Paul teaching us that we're a part of the fat root. Thank you, Lord, that you don't want us to be about money. You want us to be about the blessing. You want our lives blessed with such abundance that any need we see anywhere, as soon as we check with you, we can write the check because you have blessed us abundantly and proven yourself to us. You said it in Malachi chapter 3. Prove me now in this. You said it. Every man that said, I ain't ever going to tithe, you looked him right in the eye and said, I dare you to tithe. And watch what I do for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you that when we just trust you, every part of our life is blessed abundantly. Lord, for those tonight who don't have any money to give, I rebuke this foul demon of lack and poverty from their heart and mind. You hear me? Well, I got my eyes closed. Hold on. I'm praying and I'm thinking something's wrong. I'm rebuking the devil with my eyes closed. Just remember, when you shoot at an enemy, open your eyes so you don't miss. You foul devil, you let your hands off them and you take your thoughts out of their mind. And they're going to resist you every time now. And they're going to see every day how they can sow into the kingdom of God and work that hundredfold return like never before. In Jesus' mighty name. And we call it done now. In Jesus' mighty name. Can I get a big amen?
Amen. A big amen.
You want to say it with me? I think God is a pretty prosperous God.
He owns it all.
You know what? God owns every oil well that there is. God knows where every gold mine is. God knows where things are that nobody else knows. And you know what? If we'll listen to him, he'll fill our lives with ideas that make that stuff come into our hands. And we can not only be a blessing to our own lives, but we'll be a blessing to many people all around us. When you take the blessings of God and begin to hoard them or to begin to be stingy with them, they're going to rot in your hand. They're just going to rot in your hand. And you got to look around and say, what happened? And God's going to say, I encourage you to do this, to do that, to say this, to say that, to be a blessing here and there. And you argued with me. And so when you argue, then there's no blessing. And when there's no blessing, it just goes away out of your hand. Worship the Lord with your tithe, with your time, your talent, and your treasure, and watch him bless your socks off. How? Your time will become effective. Your talents will become more fine-tuned, and you'll be blessed, and you'll have greater and greater abundance come because of your talents. And your treasure box will be filled with treasure that you can't ever give enough away, because he said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to contain. Woo, I'm gone to preaching again. It's time for communion. The greatest blessing that God has ever given us is the life of Jesus. In the book of Philippians chapter 2 says, verse 5, that though he was rich in all of the glory of heaven, he became poor, born in a manger, so that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. And then did you notice Jesus didn't stay poverty too long? He just stayed poverty long enough to stay underneath the radar till he got old enough to travel to Egypt. And here showed up the kings with an abundance of blessing of God. And for the rest of Joseph and Mary's life, they had an abundance to take care of Jesus and get him trained in the things of God. Oh, my goodness. That was message one, message two, message three, and message four, all in one night. Make sure you put a timestamp in there so we can divide each message, and we can put a chapter in that says chapter one. Here we go. It's time for communion.
Yes.
I'm getting done early, like I said I was.
Really?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Hang on, that's a good ride. For I received from the Lord the fatness of the vine, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, resurrection, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Right now. Right now. We're like, we're Jesus. Your name ain't Jesus. But you are the body of Christ. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. In Jesus' mighty name. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 says, whoever drinks of the cup unworthily will drink to himself damnation. He'll be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But I don't recommend that. And if you come here mocking God tonight, then you're going to drink damnation. But if you come here tonight because you've sinned and you want to have forgiveness, the greatest thing to do when you sin is to go to the blood of Jesus and his broken body. The church for years has told you if you sin, stay away from the church. Don't even walk in the church that day. Isn't that about as spiritually messed up as you can get? If you've sinned, stay away from the place and get the answer and get you free. That's a demonic spirit that teaches people to say that. If it's a demonic spirit teaching the pastor to tell people not to take communion when they've sinned, what else is the demonic spirit leading that church in? My goodness, Pastor, you're scaring me. Well, it is scary. The number one answer for your life when you sinned, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, is you come to Jesus and his blood, and he will personally purge and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what this is. Don't run from your Father, run to him. So whoever you are tonight, or on the night when you watch this in the future, pray this prayer of salvation. When you're finished, you will be right with God if you mean it from the depths of your heart. And you'll be able to receive the communion elements and every bit of the power of God that goes with it. Ready? Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And that you raised from the dead victorious.
And that you raised from the dead victorious.
Put your hands out and now say, I receive you into every part of my life.
I receive you into every part of my life.
Wow. Wow. That you're experiencing is God filling your being. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. For those of you that prayed that prayer for the first time, welcome to the kingdom of God. You've been around the kingdom for a while and you're just coming back. Welcome back. You did the right thing. Go tell all your friends that was out there with you. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. We found a place where we can get back right here. You can get back right here. In that one prayer, you went from darkness to light. You left the dark world and entered the light world. You left fear and went to faith. Why? Because when you said Jesus come in, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's now inside of you. You went from your sins, which you can't beat. None of us can. There's no human who has any created ability on the inside of him to beat sin without the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. You went from your sin into Jesus' righteousness, which obliterates the sin, which destroys its power, makes you a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. All of that in one prayer. On top of that, the Father looked at Jesus and said, adopt them. And you are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. All in one prayer. Somebody ought to shout glory, hallelujah.
Good morning.
Pastor, what do I do now? Walk with God every day. Don't worry about being a Christian. Wake up every day saying, Father, help me walk with you today by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of me. Wow, here comes the anointing. Jesus, who's this anointing for? Who's this anointing for, Lord? Who's this anointing for? Phew. I love it. Back to help me walk with God every day. This is the first step of your Christianity. From now on out, he's going to bring you in closer, bring you in closer. And he's going to be to you a God and a father. Not one with a stick to beat you down. One with a hand to help you get up and get back up and get back up. And as soon as we can help you to see the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, sin will never have another thing over you. Not another day. None of them. No habits, no restrictions, no bondages will ever keep you bound again in Jesus' name. They put my email address and website in there. Please, 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 please. If you're born again or made a new commitment tonight, make sure you send me an email and say, Pastor, that's me. Help me walk with God. And I will be glad to help you walk with God every single day in Jesus' mighty name. hgpreacherman@gmail.com. You can find a link in YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, and, of course, our Zoomers. You got a new name, the Zoomers. They all have my email address memorized. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we're ready. Let's receive our communion element together tonight. Get you some bread and grape juice. Remember this. God is a God of order. And if you're not a part of our Read the Word program every morning, man, look us up on YouTube. Send me an email and say, Pastor, hook me up to Read the Word. We're reading through the Bible in 1 year chronologically. It's amazing to see how it's coming up. And we're studying Leviticus, and it is filled with the order of God. Mm-hmm. God loves order. So Jesus' example is broken bread and the fruit of the vine, grape juice. So follow his example and quit releasing yourself from having to do what he actually said to do. Get yourself in order and get it done. Go to the store, go to Walmart, buy a 2-quart jug. They're only like $2. Bring it home, keep it in the fridge. Get you the solo communion cups. They sell them in almost every store. These are solo communion cups. They knew I needed a portable communion cup when I was riding my Harley. So they made one. Though your sins were red like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. Get you some grape juice. And let's be in order with our God. Amen. Don't be in bondage to it, but be in order and be excellent. Here we go. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these
for
elements.
For this time of communion with you.
Time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you.
And by your stripes,
and by your stripes,
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplied.
Every joint supplied.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Let's receive his broken bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
And behold, all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have
and
passed
all
away.
Things have become
and
new.
All things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly. To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
and
Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
And all condemnation.
And all condemnation.
Is removed from my life.
Is removed from my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
I will always be,
and I will always be
the glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you came for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty
name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, let's sing our song. We didn't quite make 10:30, but we're close. Ready? Which song are we going to sing? We haven't sang Power in the Blood in a while. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Thanks for singing with us, guys. That's awesome.
I love it.
Love
everybody.
Love you.
Good night.
Love you guys. Thanks for being with us and singing with us and shouting with us and asking questions and everything else. We sure do love you. Now, for those of you online, you might say, well, Pastor, that wasn't very perfect singing. That's the problem with the church, is we only want to present a perfect image, not one that's real. Now, I believe in having excellent singing. I believe we should sing on tune. But in our platform that we have here, it's wonderful to be able to hear the church and around the world. You just was in Michigan and about three different places. And if Sister Phyllis was with us, she would have been in Louisiana. I didn't see whether Felicia joined in or not, but she could have. And here's the thing. We welcome it because it's what the world sounds like all over the world that's helping us sing and worship and do the work that God's given us. One of these days soon, we're going to have Brother Leo on here, and he's going to be playing all harmonica while we sing our closing song or our song about the blood of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Well, I want to be done early tonight. I want everybody to get lots of good sleep. And we're going to be back at this again tomorrow night. We're going to stay right in this series to be a blessing to you. So you know what God thinks about money, no matter what church or religion thinks about money, blessing, and abundance.
Amen.
So this is what we're going to do right now. Is somebody playing a harmonica?
No, it's Sophie playing her little kitty game.
I thought, Sunday's got a harmonica. Check it out.
No, my dad could play harmonica. He had one.
Yeah.
Really?
He drums, too.
I love that.
Brother Leo is a truck driver out here in the oil field, and he plays a really good harmonica. Mm-hmm. He's really good at it. And won't be long. I'll be having some harmonica tunes we can sing with, and I like that. But now, let's keep moving because I'll keep talking. Ready? For those of you that are with us like this, remember that tomorrow morning we are not going to have noon prayer. We may not have noon prayer for a while yet, maybe this whole week, maybe into next week. But Sister Leanne and I are pressing into some things we got to get accomplished in God, and we got to make the right step and find the right places and do all the right things here so that we're making the proper steps. And I thank you for being a part of what we're doing. It's the craziest thing in the world to me to have to take away the prayer part of the ministry. That is backwards when you look at how things work in the kingdom. However, that noon just doesn't work. And God might lead us into another way. Keep praying. We need your prayers. Please, please, please pray for us. We need them as your partner prayers. Know this, we pray for you guys every single day for God's blessing to come upon you, revelation knowledge, deeper understanding of the things of God on a daily basis in Jesus' mighty name. Well, having said that, we'll see you again tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And remember this, the first verse of the Bible is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The last verse of the Bible is, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. If you're looking for more to study about how to be a Christian, I've got an excellent set of videos on YouTube in a playlist about righteousness of God. I would love to share that with you. Shoot me an email and it'll be a blessing. Our Read the Word program is also found on YouTube. You could catch up to us. I have it all in a playlist. So all you got to do is start at the very first video, which is Genesis chapter 1, and follow it all the way through. And it might take you a month to catch us, but you'll have everything that we're saying down on the inside of you. And it'll be one of the greatest studies you've ever done just reading God's word because it's simple and yet it's powerful. And that's going to go live here in about another 45, 50 minutes. So having said all of that, my email address is in every one of the platforms so you can contact us and we'll be a blessing to you one way or another. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this.
We love you.
We love you. And God loves you, and Jesus
is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. Glory.
Good night, everybody.
Good night to you. Love you, Sunday. Thank you for being our friend.
You're always in my prayers. First thing in the morning.
Thank you, Sunday.
And I go to war. I got my suit on and my sword.
Thank you.
Amen. Suit up and shoot. No, wait. They got to be careful how you say that.
Love you, Felicia. Love you, Roger.
Love you, guys.
You, Angel.
If you guys want to talk about it a little more, that's up to you. We can be here for a little bit. Let's get that off the screen and go here. And we will be a blessing to you, too. So if you guys have a question, you're free to ask it. Brother Roger, Sister Felicia. Everybody else is headed for the pillow. Rightly so. I really like the fact that we have this Zoom platform and we figured it out.
Yeah,
I think this is one of the coolest things that we've come to since we've been doing this.
I love hearing everybody.
And it just to watch you guys grow in God, it's just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Don't forget the verses. Sister Lynn's put them in the messenger thread. I'm going to grab them right now while I'm talking to you guys.
Felicia, are you waving or do you have your hand up?
Go ahead, Felicia. Ask to unmute.
I'm sorry, my phone takes me. You were going to tell me how to do the time span.
Oh, yeah. I knew I had said something. Yeah, well, all right. Let's do it right now. It takes me about 5 seconds. Let me get set up here.
Is for the YouTube videos, right?
Do what?
Is this for the YouTube videos?
Yep, this is YouTube. Yeah, you can't put a timestamp in on Facebook. All right, now you can see my screen. It says, what does God and the Bible say about money? Now, you're not going to see this kind of a screen because this is my screen on my end. So I'm going to click edit in the studio. I have to do this to kind of get there, but it's all right. Just stick with me. Then I get this screen. We'll hit my detail. You're not going to see these yourself. It's how I have to get there in order to make it work. Hold on. Here we are.
They couldn't reach the button.
Here we are tonight.
I want you to go.
I'm now on pause. Can you see the screen?
Yes, I can see the screen.
All right. So, now what I'm going to listen for right now is for this preacher to say, turn in your Bible. So watch.
With me to...
All right, he already said it. So what you're going to do is, I'm going to go back here. Let's go. Oh, you're going to do exactly what I say. There we go. Now I'm going to watch this time, that time. See the time right down there? 0:00. Now watch this.
They couldn't reach the button. Here we go. I want you to go with me.
So it was on 4 seconds. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down here to the comments. And the Sister Lynn's already got a comment in there. I'm going to click in that comment and I'm going to go 00:04. And I'm going to say message starts. And then I'm going to click comment. And now you've made a timestamp.
Okay. All right.
All this is you going through the video again. And as you go through, and it's a powerful statement that says something to you, click the pause button. Look at that first time because it'll say it. So it's like right here, minute 25. Just talk, okay?
Anybody that's hearing that in the church, you got to get away from them because what they're doing is using it.
All right. So you can see now it says, 25:12. So now I'm just going to run down here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to say 25, but 12 is not the beginning. I'm going to jump back to about 8 and say, don't let anyone manipulate you out of your money at church.
Okay.
And then when you click enter, you've made a timestamp. Now watch what happens. So now we're at minute 28, and this guy says, oh, the message starts at 04.
I want you to go with me to...
And somebody else comes and says, don't let anybody manipulate out your money. And he's going to click it then.
You got to get away from them, because what they're doing is using manipulation to get your money.
And whatever means something to you is going to mean something to another million people just like you.
Okay.
And
all right, that
go ahead.
That makes sense. It's a lot easier than I thought. I thought I had to go in and do some weird click here, click there, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, just a comment with the timestamp. Now, we're working on the 7 videos or 9 videos, whatever it is, of righteousness. And I'll send you that playlist. There's, I don't know, about 4 or 5 people that's all working on them. So you're going to see timestamps in there of other people. It's okay. Put yours in, because there's going to be a whole different group of people that's going to think like you.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter how many timestamps are in there. People are going to be like, wow, look at this video. And they're going to start clicking those things, and they're going to be like, wow. Wow. It's not you preaching. Don't become philosophical in your statements and put in a whole paragraph, because people don't want to take that much time to read a comment. But if whatever you put in there, it's going to be somebody thinks just like you.
All right. This was really powerful.
Yep.
Great statement. You know, something like that. Okay,
yep.
I got you.
Or even just the reference. You might say, you know, Revelation 12:10, this will set you free. And now, here's the thing that happens that I don't say publicly. Every time somebody clicks on one of those, it gives us 2 clicks on people who see it.
Okay.
So it runs our numbers way up, and it helps people look. And the more numbers we get, sooner or later, YouTube starts saying, I'm not going to prostitute myself for their money, but because I ain't changing nothing about me. But if they want to start sending me a check all of a sudden, well, glory be to God, I'll just go ahead and spend it.
Amen to that.
And this is an excellent way for the 100-fold return to begin to be kicked in your own personal life.
Right.
And that's a powerful force.
Okay. Yeah, I've got my notes made. I probably can't give it about 10 minutes a day right now.
That's all right. That's all right. Every little bit makes a difference. And you watch how God helps you use this. And it's your seed. And you know what? You're going to see God just break this whole thing open in your whole family. And you're going to help people be able to be totally free. And I think it's an amazing thing. And
I'll be honest, Pastor Sam. The past month, I've gotten so much far off track. It's insane, in my opinion.
Well, but the cool thing about God is, even if we're off track, he's like, nope, this step, nope, that step, nope, that step. And you just keep... The problem we face is the enemy's throwing so many distractions our way right now in this point in history. I've never seen distractions at this level. Never. And I fight it every day just like you are. And you just got to keep saying, no, as good as that is, you're a distraction. As much as I love you, you're a distraction. And nope, I got to get myself focused on what I got to do. And that's just that's the way it's going to be from now till Jesus comes.
Yeah.
Don't be condemned.
Real sick with a sinus infection and the flu. that was a distraction.
I rebuke that in Jesus' name.
Everything's been crazy, and then we've tried to get some things paid off, and then luckily you were talking about blessings tonight and hundredfold returns, and we went to Walmart this past weekend to check on some fruit trees. And they had the raised garden, I guess platforms, beds, whatever you call them, that they're normally like $98, and they were all on sale for $5 a piece.
Oh, my Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Wow.
All 11 of them, and I'm like, yep, I got enough for my garden.
Yeah. Hallelujah, right there. That's awesome. Yeah, that's a pretty cool garden to garden like that.
Oh, yeah. And I got watermelon jugs. Yeah, you can tell I'm tired. Milk jugs that I've got to get seedling started in. I should have done it, but.
Have you ever seen that YouTube video of the guy that grows his potatoes in a garbage can?
No, but fun story, I actually got 10 potato bags for gardening for $50.
Wow.
So I figure if they're for potatoes, they'll work for onions, celery, and carrots as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. This guy, he's got old aluminum and then like your big heavy plastic 55-gallon garbage cans.
Yep.
Or maybe 36, whatever it is. Fills them with dirt. He plants his potatoes in them. He's got the bottom of them cut out so that if the roots go down deep enough, they'll go clear down into the ground. When it comes time to harvest the potatoes, they're above the ground. The plants are above the ground. He walks out, grabs the two handles, shakes it like this, and the potatoes all come on the top. And that dude had potatoes that big around.
Yeah.
I just was like, oh, my Lord, look at this guy. Because he had, I think he had, like, cucumbers and stuff all around him.
Yeah.
But that potato plant was up above it.
I've seen the videos where they use garbage bags to do potatoes.
That's
interesting.
Oh, no kidding.
Just fill them up?
Well, you have to drill your holes. You've got to have drainage.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You put your soil, whatever depth you're going to need, and you put your potatoes, and then, of course, you have to heal them. That's what gets so aggravating. And where we are, we have a lot of red clay.
Yeah.
So some things grow really well in it, but potatoes are not one. We learned that the hard way.
So what have you tried that way?
Okra grows really well, squash, cucumbers.
Oh, no kidding.
Collards, turnips.
Oh.
Sweet peas. Black-eyed peas, butter beans, all of that is grow really well. Peppers.
Wow.
I think I was having problems with my tomatoes because I was using it was in that red clay. So this time I'm going to use the raised beds.
Uh-huh. Well, that's neat. Roger, do you have a garden where you're at? See, we have tried to grow garden in pots on our patio, and our stuff grows pretty good, but nothing ever gets full size. Well, and actually our radishes, which are supposed to be the easiest things to grow, they never grow anything. We always just wind up with, you know, a string on the end of the leaves. And like our tomatoes might be the size of a golf ball, and our peppers too, so we don't know if we just don't have enough daylight. Well, we know we have plenty of daylight, but not actually sunshine. on our patio, so that might be it too. I don't know, but we haven't had good luck with the.
Do you know what zone you're in?
I don't know what zone we're in actually.
Okay, I'll see if I can find your zone, and I will send you some links.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because that's what I do. The one thing I can't grow is corn. I don't know what I do wrong, and I've tried doing, you know, like four rows so that they'll pollinate right.
Yeah.
It's like a full ear, but it only be half full.
Isn't that something?
Okay, I am not meant to grow corn.
Yep, Roger?
To answer your question,
yeah.
No, I don't have a garden. I live in a senior complex.
Oh, okay. Have you ever tried container gardening at all on yours? I mean,
I don't have any room to go ahead and do that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because the sun doesn't really shine properly.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking our problem is, too, because we just don't have any direct sunshine for that long of a day.
Right?
Yeah, we got a balcony, but we got a wall on our balcony, and the sun is really only there from like 1 o'clock until, well, you know, in the summer, it'll get as late as 7, 8 o'clock, but
yeah.
It's not like you're getting the all-day sun. They stay in the shade a lot.
Well, I was thinking, have you heard of Let Us Grow Indoor Hydra something? I can't pronounce that word. Type of system. It's an indoor system.
Really?
So I could work good on a balcony, but don't. You type in Let Us Grow and go to shopping, but Let Us Grow is like $1,000. So if you go to shopping, you can compare your prices. I think there's some for like $100. It's actually an indoor gardening system.
Wow.
That'd be something you're interested in.
Huh, that does sound cool.
Aeroponic farming.
Yeah.
Vertical farm containers.
Yep. You're on the right track. And then again, it might be the zone, because with you being like zone 8, they're telling us to go ahead and get our seedlings done in like January. With you being so far north, your season is going to be completely different from mine.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, my condo goes ahead and it's from east to west. And the sun don't shine too well.
If you want me to, Roger, I would be happy to see what on your end. You'll tell me what state you're in.
I'm in Warren, Michigan.
Warren, Michigan. Okay. What big city is that near?
Warren, Michigan.
It is. Detroit?
That's north of the Motor City.
North of Detroit. Okay, you're probably going to be in the same zone as Pastor Sam. I will find out y'all's zones, and I will see about sending y'all some links that may be helpful for y'all.
Well, that would be cool. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Happy to help. I've got one more week of this class.
Huh.
Start tomorrow, and then I'll be in my last two. But I'll carve out some time during the day. It's right now Casey is having such a hard time with geometry.
Oh yeah.
And I have said a million times, math is not my strong suit, especially when you put letters and formulas and all that fun stuff with numbers.
Yeah.
I have major issues, so. It's like banging our head on a concrete wall.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell him, but I turned out pretty good, and I couldn't figure out geometry either.
Well, I could, maybe being ignorant, I don't know. But unless you're going into a field and you know you're going into it, like you're one of these super smart kids that's got your life planned out by the time you hit high school, I don't think they push it as you have to take it.
I mean, if you were going into architecture, I could understand it. If you're going into
right.
construction, I could understand it. If you're going to land,